It is Monday night. It's April 29th, 2024. The last April episode of the Tan and J-Man Show is live on the ISC Sports Network, along with their YouTube channel and their X page and the Tan and J-Man Show X page Facebook page as well. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button at Tan and J-Man Show on all social media platforms. And if you're listening to this on your favorite audio podcast platform, please give us a rating and review. With all that said, episode 389 underway. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Josh the J-Man Munt, sitting across to me on the monitor screen over there in the, some would say, great state of Illinois.
Some would say great state of Illinois.
Some.
It's hard to believe this is the end of April. Seems like April.
We're almost a third the way done with the year.
It's going way too fast.
Yeah.
Way too fast.
Yeah. Every year goes by faster. That's what they say. You know, the older you get, time flies by.
They weren't lying. I'll tell you.
Whoever they are.
I'd like to meet them.
Truth. Yeah, me too. They're pretty famous.
They're the most famous people in the world, I would say.
They.
Feels like summer, or it's starting to feel a little more like spring, I should say, in summer. It was nice here.
Sick of the rain.
Typical April.
Oh.
Flowers. Bring May flowers, though.
Well, they better be bringing a lot of May flowers. I'm pretty sure Fort Wayne is closing in on a record for rain in the month of April all time. Mm-hmm. It's been ridiculous. You know, today we're over the weekend and I finished it off this morning with a pump. I worked really hard at getting water off the pool cover.
Oh,
now it's raining again.
Is there rain in there today?
Oh yeah. It's rained for a while earlier and it's pouring right now as we speak. So
yeah, we've gotten a decent amount of rain, but it sounds like you guys have gotten a lot more than us.
Can't keep up with the yard, the mowing, man.
I'm very glad as of right now. I live in a townhouse, so the HOA takes care of that. But you can definitely see it getting higher, and they finally mowed for the first time on Thursday. So it was about mid-shin high out there.
Yeah, and then the problem with that, because my first mow, this happened to me, the grass clippings are everywhere, you know, and then you got to rake it. I was even bagging it, too, and I was still in grass clippings all over the place. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing this show for about 7.5 years, and as you can tell, our topics of conversation have gotten a little different than they were when we were 24. Now that we're 30.
No kidding.
About rain and the grass growing and the weather, and
what did we even talk about when we were 24 to open this up? Well, first off, it would take like 30 minutes of us laughing before we could finally.
Honestly, the thing that did it for us was going on ISC because you knew you just had to go.
You were live in March of 2019, and we're like, all right. Because before that, for about the first 3 years, it was especially if we had friends on and guests on.
It was brutal. There's sometimes I still get a little chuckled, somehow I keep it together. It still happens to me when I'm pulling up to like a drive-through window. Like, where was I? I was ordering. I was driving through Popeyes, my go-to. Yesterday, by myself is the bad part. Like, I mean, you've been with me and you've made some comments. I've had to pull all the way around and do it again. But I was by myself and I found myself getting a little tickled. And it was hard. I had to repeat myself yesterday because I started laughing for no reason. No reason. Pretty embarrassing.
It's fun. You're having fun with life, Jay, man. That's the point of it.
Yeah.
So. Before you get your delicious chicken sandwich, assuming that's what you got.
Oh, absolutely. Spicy chicken, cheese, and bacon. Chicken, spicy, bacon, and cheese.
I haven't tried that. I haven't added that to my sandwich. I'm going to try that.
Pretty good. I have some birdie bogey for you. As I said to you before the show, I made this question up, and Tanner thought I made up the answer. Like it's some fictional question that he's just going to have to somehow figure out. But no, this is a real question, NFL draft question.
All right.
Can you name the last number one overall pick that did not play at a Power 5 or Power 6, however you want to call it, school? So did not play in the Pac-12, Big 10, SEC, Big 12, ACC, you get the gist. So last number one overall pick, that was a quarterback to have not played.
That was a quarterback.
That was a quarterback,
correct. Okay, because I was going to say the last guy that was non-quarterback was Fisher for the Chiefs.
Eric Fisher, yeah. Not Central Michigan, but that was a quarterback that did not play at one of the, you know, Pac-12.
I think I got this, but I don't want to jinx myself. I'm gonna think about it, but I think I got this.
But Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Get ready for a taste explosion. Their weekend feature featured a pearl sugar-infused waffle topped with bourbon honey butter, double dredged chicken thigh, smoked maple syrup, and toasted pecans served with creamy mac and cheese. That looks absolutely divine.
Oh, that sounds really good.
I'm a big fan of chicken and waffles.
Me too.
And yeah, there's just something about it. Doesn't seem like it should work, but man, sweet, savory, absolutely delicious. So that just gives you a glimpse into Arlington Public House. They also had a burger night 4 days ago, which was, what, about Thursday? They had a Cajun Ranch burger, Cajun Ranch with bacon burger. So, and they had a Wednesday night special last week, too. That was half off shareable appetizers. So they have a lot of specials going on there at the Arlington Public House. And again, ate there a few weeks ago, and it was fantastic. So,
yeah.
Cannot recommend it more.
Yep, you will not get a bad meal, no matter what you pick. And then if you're looking for an activity to do, you can rent out one of their simulator bays.
Yeah.
The Caddy Shack. So, and if you're not a golfer, don't worry. There's other things you can do. You can kick soccer balls. You can throw footballs. You can hit baseballs. All kinds of things.
Yeah. So it's pretty neat.
Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, you were talking about the NFL draft and your birdie or bogeys. So why don't we just go right into the biggest sport, I would say the biggest sport event over the weekend, even though you do have the NBA and NHL playoffs going on. But the NFL draft kind of stole all the headlines, I would say.
I would like to see the ratings for the NFL first round, for NFL draft first round, compared to like the NBA or NHL finals, any game, because I think it's probably pretty comparable, honestly.
NFL is king.
It is.
The NFL is king. Yeah. And I guess before we get into the draft, I want to ask you this, and I think this is a good place to do it. Roger Goodell, we're not the biggest fans of him, but he was on the Pat McAfee show over the weekend, and or maybe it was on Friday last week. I don't know. It's been a long weekend. So, and he was saying some things he'd like to see come to fruition around the league. One of those is expanding the 17-game season, which we have just gotten the last handful of years, went from 16 to 17, expanding that from a 17-game season to an 18-game season and cutting the preseason games back from 3 to 2. Thumbs up or thumbs down from you?
Thumbs up.
Me too.
Yeah, more meaningful football. They're always
– even if that means 2 bye weeks?
I'm and honestly, teams probably need 2 bye weeks anyway.
Yeah.
Because teams get banged up so bad, especially – I mean, if your bye week's not till like late November, that's brutal. Or even if it's like week 5, it's just brutal.
You gotta go
12 straight weeks then, or 13 straight weeks then. I like it. And again, we've been on board with cutting down the preseason. I'm bored by week 2 of the preseason or game 2 of the preseason anyway. He also mentioned pushing, which would also push the playoffs back a little bit, and we'd have the Super Bowl Sunday, the next day would be President's Day. So a lot of people would have 3-day weekend. That doesn't affect me at all because I don't think I've ever had President's Day off. But really? Never have. I don't think I ever have.
It wouldn't affect me either. Crud, I just thought about that. I thought I had that off. No, I don't.
So that it would be weird because there'd be years we'd be watching, you know, the Super Bowl would be February 15th. Your birthday could have been Super Bowl Sunday, February 18th even. So it that'd be strange, but yeah, an 18 game season, I think 2 bye weeks is perfect. Because again, teams get banged up and all of that, you can get healthy, and Yeah, totally on board. And I think it'll probably happen here within the next couple of years. But it would be weird. I mean, it was always, you know, 16-game schedule where we got used to the records, you know, 6-10, 7-9, 8-8. Now I've just gotten used to 11-6 and 12-5 and
right.
All of that. Now it'll be, you know, 13-5 and 12 and
well, 500 records would be back in play if it goes. It would be,
which yeah. There's something about an even number too that is comforting.
Yeah, you're right. But it'll be interesting. And you know, Goodell, he just leans into getting booed at the drafts.
It was pretty funny the way they did it.
Yeah, he knows it's coming, but you know, Eminem was out there on stage. That didn't help him. The Lions players didn't help him. Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders didn't help him.
Yeah.
So it was good stuff.
Yeah. At least he has a sense of humor and knows it's going to happen and likes to play it up a little bit. Like, I know David Stern always would kind of do that kind of stuff too in the NBA.
I remember that one year he did the Hulk Hogan, the ear thing.
Yeah. I don't know if they boo Adam Silver. I know he was
but
he was pretty well liked there for a while, but I think people are starting to turn on him, which, I mean, it's one of those positions where you die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
You know why I boo him every year?
Why?
Because he hadn't brought the Sonics back yet.
That's fair.
Once he does that, I'll applaud him.
I will donate $3.42 to the Sonics cause.
Yep.
That's my max that I'm willing to donate. But Rob Manfred's universally hated, but they never do like a big time draft where he can get booed, although he'd be booed mercilessly, I would imagine. And he doesn't seem like the type of guy that would have a sense of humor to go along with it either. He'd probably be pretty ticked off. But
and I couldn't tell you about the NHL commissioner. I don't know if he's liked or not. I don't know.
No. Most commissioners aren't very well liked, even if they did a lot of good things. Like David Stern took the NBA to ridiculous heights that they didn't.
He's made it a global game.
He made it a global game, and they hated him. Yep. Paul Tagliabue was a pretty good commission. He got booed a lot. So
it's a position of power, which they get paid a ton of money.
Yeah. People don't like that.
But, yep.
And they make incredibly tough decisions that not everyone's going to like anyway. So
right.
This comes with the territory.
I mean, look at college conference commissioners. They're not liked most of the time.
Yeah. We hated Kevin Warren. Go on record.
Couldn't stand him.
And again, you kind of break it down a little bit. He was put in a terrible spot because his first year was the COVID year. So he had first year as commissioner, he had to deal with like the worst possible thing that could happen. And he screwed it up, which a lot of us would screw it up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that doesn't make us feel any sympathy towards him whatsoever.
Well, and then he screwed up the whole TV deal
right
before he left with NBC and Fox and CBS.
I don't even remember the guy's name. That's Big Ten Commission now, which is probably a good thing. It probably means he's doing a halfway decent job if we don't know his name. So
Yep. So, but going back to the draft, what were some of your big takeaways from round one?
Night one, I think the biggest takeaway was the Atlanta Falcons.
I still can't figure out what they were thinking.
It makes absolutely no sense. They stayed at number 8. You know, you had Roma Dunes or whatever his name is on the board. Still, as well as a couple other wide receivers they could have taken. Offensive lines on board. A defensive player wasn't even taken until, you know, the teens.
And, 15 by the Colts.
Yeah, that was the first defensive player taken.
Latu.
Yeah, and they end up taking a guy in Michael Penix, who quarterback for one. They just signed Kirk Cousins to the biggest deal the quarterback's ever seen. About it seems like for a guy that hasn't won a whole lot. Penix coming off multiple knee injuries, he's had multiple shoulder injuries, and now he's a guy that he was projected to be a first rounder, maybe in the second round, slide back to the second round. And they take him at number 8. And the Falcons' comments afterwards were, he might not play for 4 or 5 years, which is ridiculous to take a guy in the top 10 and then just not play him for 4 or 5 years.
He's going to be 24 in a matter of weeks. So if you sit him for those 4 years, he's going to be 28.
Yeah, it'll be like Brandon Whedon, except he's a rookie. And again, I never really saw it with Penix anyway when he was at Indiana. He had so many weapons to throw to at Washington. He's a good quarterback, but
most of these quarterbacks do though.
They do. Except Caleb Williams did not have a guy go until the seventh round, which was Taj Washington.
He still has talent at USC and at Oklahoma.
Ridiculous.
But I know what you're saying.
I'm still baffled by it. I was baffled when it happened, and I don't understand their thought process.
It reminds me that, they didn't keep Kirk into the fold until right before they picked, and Kirk and his agent are like, what?
Yeah.
Like, because Kirk's probably thinking, oh, I'm good for 2 years because you paid me $100 million guaranteed, but after that, are you just going to kick me to the side?
Yeah.
Kirk's
he's a 30, mid-30s guy coming off a torn Achilles, too.
Right.
So.
But they didn't seem to be worried about that when they gave him all the money.
When they tampered and about lost that number 8 draft pick anyway. It made zero sense. On paper, it makes zero sense. Afterwards, it makes zero sense. And we'll see here in a year or two. If it starts to make a little bit of sense. Because, again, mid-30s guy coming off an Achilles tear, he might not bounce back. It might not be very good. So he might be thrown in the fire immediately, and it looks like a genius pick. Yeah. But that's just kind of a shot in the dark at this point. Another thing they said was we liked the Green Bay model of the Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers model.
Yeah, well.
Both those guys went in the 20s. They didn't go in the top 10. You take a top 10 quarterback, you're starting him immediately, usually. Right.
And the only reason the Packers took Rodgers when they had Favre was because Rodgers was just sliding after he didn't get picked by San Francisco to where Green Bay, he just fell into their lap.
Penix, and with like J.J. McCarthy on the board, who was a projected, a guy that was going to go maybe in the top 10, but I think he's a better quarterback than Michael Penix. I'm at a loss because it still just doesn't make sense. I'm very glad I'm not a Falcons fan, honestly, because I'd really struggle with that one.
I think the team that was disappointed, I mean, they're not going to come out and say it, but I think the team that was disappointed that Penix went 8 was the Raiders at 13.
Yeah. Yeah, because they thought they'd have their pick of, Nix or Penix, which both probably could have traded back and got, both teams probably could have traded back and gotten one of them in the 20s. But when it comes to quarterbacks, you got to take them.
Yeah, you never know. If your guy's there, or even your second guy.
Yeah.
I mean, at the Broncos case, there was projected up to six quarterbacks getting drafted in the first round. 5 had already went off the board the first 11 picks. So they're sitting there, and by all accounts, they liked Bo Nix anyways. I was one who I wanted him to trade back, get some more picks, and then get him. But with the Raiders sitting there at 13, the Rams potentially interested in trading up, you could not take the chance. So if they didn't draft him, they're stuck with Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
That would just been death pong 10.
It would have been really interesting had the Falcons not have taken Penix, because who knows, maybe then you're able to trade back. But especially looking at the quarterback class next year, it's terrible.
Right.
The class is terrible. You want Shedeur Sanders out there.
No, I do not.
Yeah. So you got to take – you had to. And I'm sure the Raiders are sitting there like, crap. I thought their pick was really good, though, in Brock Bowers. Because he's
absolutely. Absolutely. Very good. They've got weapons. No.
Yeah, it'll be the Aiden O'Connell and who else is there?
Gardner Minshew
show out there. So – they're probably not going to win a whole lot of games, but at least they'll be fairly entertaining.
But the run of quarterbacks, man, 6 in the first 12 picks.
Crazy.
And like you mentioned, the run of offensive players, the first 14 in a draft, the 6 quarterbacks tied to 1983 draft record of 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round, the first 14 offensive players selected. That's never happened in the history of the draft. Just, it tells you where the league's at. You have to win with quarterback play and putting up points.
Man. Even 10 years ago, I was like, man, got to take a running back in the top 10. Have to. 10 years later, teams aren't taking running backs till the third round, something in the second. I know the Falcons, again, were another team that at 8 last year took Bijan Robinson and, of course, didn't use him the way he should have been used. But Yeah, the league's a changing, continues to change, and who knows, maybe we'll cycle back here in 10 years, and I'm sure it'll look a lot different than it does now. But you got to have a quarterback, and you got to keep taking him until you get one, because you don't hit on a quarterback, you have no shot. No shot in the NFL.
Right. Yep. And the quarterback's taken. Of course, Caleb Williams went first overall to the Bears. Second overall to Washington was Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Drake May out of North Carolina went third to the Patriots. And like we said, Michael Penix went fourth to the Falcons at 8. McCarthy went fifth to the Vikings at 11, which the Vikings – that was the Vikings traded up to 10. They traded up 11 to 10 because I think they were scared that Denver might try to trade up. And then Denver took Bo Nix at 12. So my mock draft, I hit 5 picks out of 32 correct right on the head. I'm kicking myself for the Drake May, Jaden Daniels. Don't know what I was thinking last Monday, but whatever. If you count Bo Nix going to Denver, McCarthy going to the Vikings as correct picks, because I had them going there, but I had them in trades, then I got 7, if you're counting that. So
still pretty good. I mean, Kuiper doesn't do that well usually.
Not too bad, but it was fun. It was fun to do and fun first round to watch. I'm happy with Bo Nix. I wanted a quarterback. I really wasn't going to be picky. I think Penix was the one I would have put 6th on my list, but I was between Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. You can ask my wife about that. I wanted them even over Drake May. I don't know why. I would have taken Williams or Daniels. They were my preferred two, but I knew they weren't slipping past the top 3. So I'm good with Bo Nix. I know he's 24 years old. But I sure hope they start him week 1. Just start him, throw him into the fire, see what happens. I don't think this is a Bronco team that's going to make the playoffs anyways. So might as well take your lumps and let the rookie grow year 1 instead of throwing out Jared Stidham or Zach Wilson and then put in Nick's in come week 5 or 6 anyways
when you're 1-4.
1-4 or whatever. Yeah. So it's got some excitement around the fan base, I think. So
yeah, we'll see. Peyton's never been in a position where he's had to start a rookie quarterback, especially a guy that took in the first round. He might have started a rookie quarterback before.
He's never drafted a quarterback in the first or second round.
There you go.
It'll
be interesting to see if he and Bo can coexist, because obviously Russell Wilson and Peyton could not.
I think this is Sean Payton's legacy as a Denver Broncos coach on the line. This is his guy. He's the one that did not want Russell Wilson there anymore. Said he couldn't win with him. Wanted a different guy. So this is his guy. It's got to work. Or Sean's, he's got 4 years left on his deal. He won't see year 4 of that deal if this doesn't work.
Yeah. So, they also – who'd they trade Denver trade for? It was defensive end, right?
Yeah, from the Jets.
Yeah.
He's got a hyphenated name. It's escaping me right now. Let's see if I can find it. But they also did a few other draft picks. They got, I liked in round 4, they got Troy Franklin, which was Bo Nix's favorite target at Oregon. I like that. And what I really liked, even though he's a Golden Domer, Notre Dame boy, I liked Audric Estime in the 5th round. I think he could be their steal of the draft,
potentially. What other running backs they have?
Javonte Williams, who's, blew his knee out 2 years ago, was back last year, but he wasn't the same. And then undrafted rookie last year, Jaleel McLaughlin, was their kind of change of pace back. But that's it. So they need another horse. And I like having Estime as a power back there. I think he can be pretty good.
Yeah.
So overall, I was pretty happy with their draft. They didn't have a ton of picks going into it. So I thought they did a pretty good job. I know a lot of the evaluators didn't like their draft, and they're getting graded pretty low, but
they don't know anything. You remember the Seahawks draft where they gave them like a D+, and it was the year they took Wilson in the 3rd round. There were a few other guys that were big time starters on their Super Bowl team. Those guys don't know anything. Call them year 3, year 4. Ask me then.
John Franklin Myers.
That's right.
The defensive lineman. They got him a 2-year picked up the 2 years left on his contract. Cause it sounds like the Jets, names escaped me. They got another defensive lineman that all their money's going to go towards. So
yeah, I should know, but I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. But, But I thought from an outsider perspective, I thought the Dolphins had a pretty good draft. I like that first pick, Chop Robinson, legally named Pork Chop.
Is that really his legal name?
Yep.
I did not see it. Pork Chop. That's hilarious. his production at Penn State kind of lacked, but at the same time, he was the number two pass rush grade in all of college football last year. I think I even said it on last week's show that wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins take an edge rusher, looking at their playoff game where they had to pull guys off the street like Justin Houston and all of that. So they get the most explosive pass rusher in the draft. His production lacked a little bit at Penn State, but he tested through the roof and he had a ridiculous pass rush grade. So he's obviously wreaking havoc, even though he wasn't getting to the quarterback. So you can't really go wrong taking a defensive end early. Second round pick, never heard of the guy. He's an offensive lineman. Sounds like a project. I wish they would have taken a for sure starter in the second round on the offensive line, but is what it is. And they traded up for a running back from Tennessee, fastest running back in the draft, Jalen Wright. They love their Jalens, I tell you. The crazy thing is these guys spell their name Jalen completely different. Every single one of them. You have, Jalen Waddles, J-Y-L-E-N. You have Jalen Phillips, J-A-E-L-E-N. Then you have Jalen Ramsey, J-A-L-E-N. And now Jalen Wright, J-Y-L-I-N. So you just add him with Mostert and A-Chan, and that is the fastest running back room maybe in the history of football. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of distribute carries. But overall, I was pretty happy. They took a couple wide receivers, which they desperately need a third pass catcher. Took a safety late, who will probably be a practice squad guy, I imagine. And then another edge rusher in the fifth round. It seems like they got pretty good value on day three. So overall, fairly happy with their draft. And again, ask me 2 or 3 years from now if it actually panned out.
Yeah, it's not fair to evaluate these draft classes earlier than 3 years, really. I know the team in the state you live in, their fans, the Chicago Bear fans, they're as excited, and for probably good reason, they're as excited as they've been in a long time. I thought they hit a home run night one, of course, getting Caleb Williams picked number one, but then Roman Dunze from wide receiver from Washington picked number nine, give Caleb another weapon. So all of a sudden on paper, you have Caleb Williams, you have DeAndre Swift, that running back, then your wide receivers, you got DJ Moore, you got Keenan Allen, you got Roman Dunze, you got Cole Kmet at tight end. Some weapons.
Yeah, on paper, this might be the best offense they've ever had. And
yeah,
a couple of these guys have never even played for the franchise yet.
Right.
Bears fans are getting a little cocky. It's like they haven't learned that, hey, we haven't had a good quarterback ever. Jay Cutler's are easily our best quarterback in history. We crowned Justin Fields this great guy, and he ended up getting traded for a sixth-round pick.
Justin Fields got to be mad. He's got to be mad because all of a sudden he's like, where were these weapons when I was there?
Exactly. Even early in the offseason, those idiot Bears fans thought they could legitimately get a first or second-round pick for Justin Fields, and they got a sixth-round pick for him. So that obviously showed what the league thought of Justin Fields, where Bears fans thought he was this elite guy. They're delusional. And again, they might
tough division,
very tough division, especially with the Lions actually being halfway decent now. They should be excited because Caleb Williams by all measures looks like he'll be your prototypical elite quarterback in the NFL. And again, you have DJ Moore who had a great year. Keenan Allen's ridiculous.
He's old but productive
when he's healthy. Cole Kmet's a good tight end. Now Roma Dunze. That's a pretty good wide receiver room there. And their defense was halfway decent last year, which is an Eberflus style. They should be pretty excited. If I was a Bears fan, I'd probably be through the roof pumped and ready for the season.
Especially if you're a White Sox fan.
They've won three in a row. So don't count out the White Sox. They're doing a whole major league thing where Jerry Reinsdorf's in there and they're peeling off everything one at a time.
That's an image I didn't want in my head.
The Bears fans should be pretty pumped.
And Colt fans, I've heard mixed reactions on their draft. Of course, they had their pick at the board.
Mm-hmm.
As far as defensive players are concerned, a 15, and they went with Liatu Latu. That's going to take me a long time to get used to saying that. Defensive end, UCLA, who's had past neck injuries, but when healthy, the guy's a bona fide stud. Saw some Colt fans were happy, some weren't with the pick. They also got a Donay Mitchell from Texas in the second or third round. He's a good second round. He's a good wide receiver, speedy.
Yeah, that Latu reminds me a lot of Jalen Phillips, for one. Both guys started their career at UCLA, were forced to medically retire because I think Jalen Phillips had neck issues as well. He also got hit by a car out there, which is bad. And then Phillips transferred to Miami and had a great final year and was taken in the first round. But they're same measurables, same everything. It's kind of crazy how they kind of line up. And I think it'll be very good for the Colts.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought Ballard did a pretty good job with the draft. It'll be interesting. They're going to be an interesting team to watch because it's going to be the Texans division, I got to think.
Should be.
And Jacksonville should bounce back, but I don't know.
Not a believer in Trevor Lawrence, as I've been on record saying.
They picked up his fifth-year option today, I saw.
Yeah.
And Travis Etienne, both of them. So, any other teams that we haven't discussed that you thought hit a home run on for the draft, or any teams you thought did absolutely awful? I know, like you said, we're just totally guessing.
Yeah. I thought Minnesota did pretty good round one. I think McCarthy has a chance to be pretty solid, but then trading up for what's his name from Alabama, defensive end.
Oh my gosh,
is his last name Hunter? Why am I struggling?
Yeah, I think it is Hunter.
So
I'll find it.
Whatever his name is, because a lot of people had him going in that top, seven or eight, and he fell all the way to 18 or wherever Minnesota picked. So I thought they
Dallas didn't. Turner. Dallas Turner. Hunter Turner. Yeah.
Knew it had a ER at the end.
Yeah.
Dallas. Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking Hunter.
I was too.
Dallas Turner. Yeah, he's a fantastic defensive end. And taking those two guys, I thought Minnesota did very well. Other than that, I honestly didn't follow too much of it in this final 2 days of it. I was mainly a first round only guy this year, but it's always fun.
I swear, every time I tuned in over the weekend, a guy from the Illini was getting taken, it seemed like.
Yeah, they had the second most draft picks for a team that was never ranked last year. They had four of them. They had Johnny Newton, who I thought would go in the first round. Mm-hmm. He was fell to the second to Washington, and then
Washington had a good draft.
They had a very good draft. Yeah, Isaiah Adams and Tip Ryman went in the third round. Then Casey Washington, who had one good game in his career, and it happened to be the final game of the season last year, he measured pretty well. But I am officially no longer an Illinois football fan. I have declared that today after watching every single player transfer, essentially. They're going to be terrible.
My dad and I were talking about this the other day. It sucks being a fan of a Purdue, Illinois, and Indiana right now with the landscape of college football, because essentially for most guys you're probably a stepping stone, and it really sucks. Yeah. I mean, you can probably keep some of your bona fide stars, but it's going to eat so much of your NIL. You're not going to have a lot of money elsewhere, and I hate when I even see like good players on Purdue even being rumored of looking, because I'm like, man, they can't afford to lose another one. But
yeah,
it is what it is.
From what I read, it sounds like the big teams, I mean, Alabama and all that, tried to come in big time. And Illinois was able to shell out enough cash where they could keep some of their guys. But Nick Saban admitted to tampering show he's on, ESPN or whatever. Yeah. He goes, yeah, this guy out of Toledo, we tried to get him into the portal and he just wouldn't budge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a real bad look when your best coach ever is saying that. Today, the final straw for me, Andrew Dennis, who is a four-star offensive lineman.
Chose Illinois over Purdue in the portal.
he was a true freshman actually coming in, and he got there in January.
When he decommitted, when he decommitted from Michigan State. I meant.
Got there in January, and he's already in the portal, never playing a down. Who knows who came on calling? So might have been Purdue Milestone.
No, what I read on Purdue boards is there. He was quoted. He wants to go back closer to home, so they thought he literally might go back to Michigan State.
Michigan State. I don't know why. I know he decommitted because of Mel Tucker sort of stuff. I did not clean up the room very well before the show, because I had my daughter in here.
For everybody listening on the podcast, Josh's wife Megan commented on Facebook that she sees their daughter's toy in the background of the room. So
did a pretty terrible job cleaning up the room. I had her in here literally like 3 minutes before the show, before somebody showed up to watch her. And
it makes you feel better, Josh. I didn't even notice.
Tell your wife. Only I swear the women just have like laser eyes that can see stuff. She could probably see through me and see what's behind me.
Well, I'm glad this my camera doesn't rotate and everybody can see how actually messy and disorganized my office is up here. So product placement. It's the whole college sports landscape right now. Even on basketball, it's kind of hard to stomach at times. I mean, luckily, at least this year, and I think Matt Painter is going to try most years not to use the portal too much, and Purdue's going to try this consistency model.
Good luck.
I think it's just good. He's going to have to recruit the right guys that aren't just motivated by who's going to pay me the most money. But I don't think that's always the case either. I think take Chucky Hepburn, for instance, from Wisconsin. I don't think he wanted to leave Wisconsin. But when a team comes and offers you double or triple life-changing money,
you got to do it.
You got to do it. It's just I don't know what the answer is. There's got to be something out there. I just don't know what it is.
The NCAA could have gotten ahead of it 4 years ago and put these parameters in place, and they didn't. They just now it's free-for-all. And we talk about it so much, and it's ruining college athletics. And they have to do something quick to sort of figure this out.
And it's not only your revenue sports.
Yeah.
Baseball, that's not a revenue base for too many teams out there. The SEC is cleaning everybody's roster out.
Cleaning up. Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And I mean, I'm always going to love college sports, always going to root for Purdue, but the way things are going, my passion might fall a little bit one of these days just because we always made fun of Kentucky fans for years with the one and dones of like, oh, they have to learn a whole new roster every year.
Yeah.
Well, now that's a lot of the teams out there.
Yeah. Illinois has lost 13 of 15 players from their Elite 18 that day. Just playing a month ago.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
So, two scholarship players returning. And, five of those guys were out of eligibility. So you can't really be like – and then there's only maybe one guy that transferred them. Like, crap, I wish they would have kept him. That's Imani Hansberry.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's going to be a whole new roster. And that's why Brad's going – and it doesn't even matter now because he's going after, these underclassmen transfers or guys who have multiple years left. That means nothing anymore.
That means nothing because then they can, if they don't like the way the season went or the play time, they're back in the portal the next year. So
and the thing that I like or I hate, but I also love it at the same time because it's funny, is guys put their name into the portal with a do not contact tag. So they're literally just shopping around to see who's going to give them the most money. Yep. Like, okay, now you can contact me.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
it is just a crazy world anymore. And, where was I going with this? When you said something about Brad, I don't remember. It'll come back to me. But it's wild. It's went so much faster than I think we could ever envision it.
Yeah, it is spiraled out of control.
Yep, I still can't. Gosh, I can't think of what I want to say, but that's okay.
That's okay.
But any other thoughts on the NFL draft? We kind of went down a rabbit hole there, but.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. I always look forward to it for like a month out, and now it's just gone. It's over. It happened so quick.
Yeah, now the next thing with the NFL, which it's not as big a deal, even though it's still a big deal because televised, it's probably next week or two is the NFL schedule release.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
I was not able to go to a Dolphins game.
Me neither.
Last year, and I'm going to try to get to two this year.
Get to a Bronco one too.
Yeah, they do play in Indianapolis, so.
Hopefully there you go. But, it's a fun place to play or fun place to watch. Even though I usually go home sad, but
I've never watched a game at Lucas Oil. Yeah. I watched at the old RCA Dome.
Better than the RCA Dome,
but yeah, the RCA Dome they just pumping noise.
Oh, I know what I was gonna say to finish up our transfer portal NIL talk for this week. You're talking about Underwood, and you know I'm seeing all these analysts talk about Indiana's team. Mm-hmm. Which they look very talented on paper. Don't get me wrong. A talent upgrade compared to last year. But I don't put any stock in that until I see what the team looks like on the court together come a couple months into the season.
Yeah.
Because that's the tough part. You get all these talented guys, but they never played together.
Yeah.
So.
And honestly, adding a guy like Luke Goody, I was not upset Luke Goody left. I'm a little not mad, but I'm like, I wish he wouldn't have gone to Indiana.
I don't like the interconference.
Yeah, I don't
transfers.
Either.
I don't.
Of course, his uncle Trent Green played there. I think his grandfather played there as well. But adding a guy like Luke Goody, great culture guy, will help kind of mesh that out a little bit. But still, I mean, I know they got some pretty good guards. But again, until it all mixes together, it might be, you know, a month or so before it clicks. It did for Illinois last year. I'll tell you that much. I was not having fun watching them in November, even though they only lost one game. Because they were losing with like 15 minutes left to a Valpo team that lost 25 games this year. And they ended up winning by 20-something. Yeah. But then it finally clicked and they went on a run. So maybe that'll happen with Indiana. But Woodson needed to use the portal wisely. And it, for the most part, looks like he has. But again.
Well, he's got that. The Packers money for at least one more year.
If he loses with this team, he's gone.
Well, and for a lot of schools, not just Indiana, I think, you know, these donors and these boosters who are ponying up big time money, if their team doesn't start winning, they're gonna be like, I'm not giving any more money. Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting.
And it's so weird watching college basketball analysts say, per so-and-so's agent, he is entering the transfer portal. Like, yeah, if the moment they start hearing agents, you know, 4 years ago, it's like, you're going to be banned for life.
Yeah. Now we got Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back, which he deserves. He should have never got stripped of it. The guy is the best college running – to this day, the best college running back I've seen play.
Yeah, so. Agreed.
Yep. So, yep. But – NBA playoffs hot and heavy right now. So that brings me to my picks six segment. I have six guys who played collegiately at Big Ten schools that are still active in the playoffs right now. First being OG Anunoby for the New York Knicks.
Yeah. Was he on Kareem's last team there? Was that his last team or second to last?
One of those. I don't know which one off the top of my head.
He had like a freshman year where he didn't really do a whole lot. And then February came around. He had a pretty good February and ended the season well. And then people started talking All-American with him because they saw his, you know, his size, athleticism, everything, ability to defend. And then he got hurt his last year and didn't do a whole lot. He was good. Like he was solid. And then he ended up being a lottery pick or first round pick. But he's ended up having a really good NBA career. It took him a little while, but those Indiana teams were weird because they were not that good, but they had a ton of talent, which is typical for Tom Crean. Look at, you know, Anthony Edwards is taking the league by storm now, and he 5-13 with him in the SEC at Georgia.
Yep. Max Christie for the LA Lakers.
Is he getting any minutes?
Not really, but he's on the team.
Yeah, he's from Rolling Meadows. I think his brother has a chance to be better than him in college anyway, Cam. I think he's still at Minnesota.
He put his name into the draft, but he can return. I don't think he left Minnesota.
Though. Okay. Max came in, high-ranked five-star guy, and he was okay. I mean, he averaged for a freshman. I mean, a lot of times a five-star comes in, you expect him to light the world on fire. And he had a pretty typical freshman year for a good recruit, averaged about 10 points a game, pretty good shooter. But Trent Frazier shut him down twice, which was kind of funny because Frazier's 6 inches shorter than him.
You love to bring up Trent Frazier and Chester Frazier whenever you can.
I love Trent Frazier, man. He's a winner.
He was a winner. His teammate on the Lakers, D'Angelo Russell. That guy does play quite a bit.
Yeah, he I always forget he was a Big Ten guy. He was a one and done.
One and done.
Ohio State. A decent Ohio State team. I think they were a 7 seed in the tourney. They weren't
sounds right
special. He's had a pretty long NBA career, but he's kind of one of those guys that gets talked about a lot, but he's more hype than substance usually.
He's been a Laker twice. This is his second go-around with the team. In game two of this series against the Nuggets, he hit a franchise record 7 threes in a playoff game for the Lakers, which is crazy. Think about all the great Laker greats, and he's the one who has a franchise record for threes made in the playoff game.
Yeah, he's definitely capable of that, he's very inconsistent.
Caris LeVert for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, Michigan man. He was originally committed, I believe, to John Gross at Ohio. Gross left for Illinois, and instead of Gross going after LeVert, he decided to go to Michigan because Beilein reached out, and he ended up having a really good career at Michigan, being a first-round pick and having a pretty long NBA career when he dealt with a really bad injury early in his career too, but he's persevered.
I'm putting these two together, even though I'm going to have an additional one after this. The Wagner brothers, both on the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, Franz and Mo. Franz, man, I think – I'm trying to think. The last Purdue basketball game I went to – was that – yeah, it was the COVID year before the world shut down. So it was
1920.
Yeah, 1920. So it was February 2020, and Michigan went into Purdue and took care of business.
Killed them.
And Franz is having a really good start to his NBA career, and it's kind of surprising because Mo was better in college, but Franz was only there 2 years, I believe, and Mo was there a couple extra. But yeah.
And lastly, like I said, there's a lot of Big Ten players in the NBA, but I'm just going with the players that are on rosters of teams in the playoffs. Jalen Smith for the Indiana Pacers.
Sticks. Good player at Maryland. He and I think was his point guard Anthony Cowan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's who it was. Yeah, he was like a McDonald's All-American or pretty close to it. One of Turgeon's best recruits he got on campus there, and had a good career at Maryland. And he's stuck around for a real skinny, tall guy. A lot of those times those guys don't stick around unless you're ridiculous like Kevin Durant, but he's had a good career for himself.
Yeah, he's a decent reserve for Miles Turner. So, it brings a different style, that's for sure. So,
yeah.
But that's going to do it for this week's Pick 6 segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
You want to be educated here?
Always. I feel like I really need it today.
On this day in 1751, the New York Gazette and Postboy carries first public report of a cricket match played in America.
I really have to study up on my cricket today so I know what we're talking about when these come up.
A lot of cricket. On this day in 1934, Pittsburgh is the last Major League Baseball city to play a home game on a Sunday. So they must have had something in place where you can't do anything on Sundays, which that's happened. 1936 was the first professional baseball game played in Japan as Nagoya defeats De Tokyo 8-5.
Good feeder system now for the MLB.
Yeah.
In some cases.
On this day in 1980, who was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft?
1980? Was that Marcus Allen?
It's Billy Sims out of Oklahoma. Who was taken on this day in 81, number one overall?
Marcus Allen?
George Rogers. I've never heard of him.
Nope, me neither. What team?
Saints. That's probably why the Saints were terrible up until like 2008. 1985, the Yankees fired manager Yogi Berra 16 games into the season, despite assurance from owner George Steinbrenner that he would be kept for the whole season.
George was a jerk, and that's why he never hired legends.
Billy Martin was named as replacement
for about the millionth 12th time.
On this day in 1986, Roger Clemens struck out 20 Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, he went on to have a pretty good career.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Who was still
should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Who was the number one overall pick in 1986?
Was that Vinny Testaverde?
That was Bo Jackson.
Oh, shoot.
Bo knows.
Shoot.
On this day in 87, Chicago Cub Andre Dawson hits for the cycle.
Good player.
Yeah, Cubs have not had a cycle since, I think, 1990 when Mark Grace did it. Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's weird. Yeah, it's a tough triples park at Wrigley because it's short alleyways.
I figured for some reason like Rizzo might have got it, who hit his 300th career home run.
He did. It sucks that it did not come as a Cub, but it was very nice it came against the Brewers. So
16th home run at Miller Park.
As a consolation prize. On this day in 2006, who was the number one overall draft pick?
Mario Williams.
It was Mario Williams. You got it.
And Reggie Bush went 2 to the Saints.
That is going to do it for on this
day.
I
still remember being shocked when that report came out the day before the draft that the Texans were taking Mario Williams.
Yeah.
It worked out great. He was a good pro.
Pretty good player.
He was a good pro, but I just thought they were nuts for passing up Reggie Bush at the time. But
yeah. Vince Young, Matt Leiner.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. And that's going to do it for the Honest Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. That can make sports signs, growth charts, military signs, family signs, wherever you might need, whatever sign made out of wood, that can make it for you. Like I said, Mother's Day's coming hot and heavy. It's only a few weeks away. Then Father's Day is right around the corner after that in June. Get your sign orders in. Tell Thad the Tan and J-Man show sent you for a 15% off your first sign order.
Before we talk baseball, I have to do a book it here.
Lakers NBA won playoffs. NBA playoffs.
Lakers won game 4. And this will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. I think the Yankees, good Lord, they're pretty much the same. They're pretty much the same thing. The L.A. they have the same fans anyway.
That's
the L.A. Lakers force a game 7.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No. They might get one more, but.
The Nuggets are real good, but the Lakers force a game 7, and the Nuggets ultimately get her done. But, I mean, you look at the Lakers have had like a double-digit lead in the third quarter in like every single one of those games. So if they could just close
and them. Jamal Murray's banged up all of a sudden game 5. So
J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week is brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watchering for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watchering@infb.com.
So with that said, before we get to baseball real quick, I know we're running out of time, but so you got the Lakers winning at Ball Arena tonight against the Nuggets.
Book it.
Okay. How about the Thunder at the Pelicans?
Give me the Thunder. I think they close it out. Is it 3-0?
Yeah, 3-0. Oh. I agree. And how about the Celtics at Miami? Celtics are 2-1 lead there.
Give me the ticks in that one.
Then tomorrow night, Pacers at Bucks. Pacers can close it out with a win.
I think they close it out. No Giannis, no Lillard. Not happening for Milwaukee.
Do the Knicks close it out against the Sixers tomorrow night? I say yes.
I sure hope so. I like the Knicks more than the Sixers at this point.
And the Knicks fans are pretty insufferable, too.
Yeah.
Then a real good series here, tied at 2 games apiece, Magic at Cleveland tomorrow.
Yeah, we haven't heard about that one because they barely even put it on TV.
I know.
Give me Orlando. I kind of like that Magic team with Paolo Banchero. I butchered his name. Paolo
sounded Mincio. Good to me.
Yeah, he played at Duke. That's all I know. And the Wagner brothers. So I hated both of them at Michigan. I will go on record and say that. But,
and the Timberwolves swept the Suns. Kevin Durant's out of the playoffs. He cannot do it by himself. He's proven it over and over again.
Yeah. And then Bradley Beal's a loser. I'll just say that.
Then the only other series going on, it's this game 5 is not till Wednesday. Tied 2 games apiece, Mavericks at Clippers.
Oh, man, I think that's the best series so far.
That's a very good series.
Give me the Clippers.
Yep. A lot of good series going on. Yeah. So.
Baseball, real quick. Cubs need to get healthy. They cannot catch a break with the injury bug. They've already lost Seiya Suzuki. Then Cody Bellinger cracks a rib on Tuesday or Wednesday, and he'll be out a little while. Jordan Wicks felt some forearm tightness. He's on the injured list now. So now they just need some good injury news. Jameson Taillon's back. He looks pretty good so far. He did give up a leadoff homer to start the game tonight. They have to get healthy. They need Seiya back. They lose their two best hitters, and the offense has been okay. The past two nights, it has not been very good out there in Fenway. But Mike Tauchman's been pretty good for him. Justin Steele is going to make a rehab appearance on Wednesday. Sounds like if that goes well, he will join the rotation next week. So they desperately need him back for sure. Kyle Hendricks is on the injured list, addition by subtraction, unfortunately. I'm at this point, but overall still playing some pretty good baseball. 17-11, Houston Astros came into Wrigley at the time they were 7-16. I'm like, it's not going to last. Cubs ended up sweeping them.
That hole's getting a little deeper for Houston.
It is. They're 9-19. Now the West, the leader of that division is the Mariners, and they're only two games over 500. So the Astros are only six games out. So they're still within striking distance. If they were in like a division like the NL East or something, they'd be 11 games out.
Or already. The AL East.
Or the AL East. They'd be about 11 games out. They'd be nine and a half out. Mm-hmm. But they're not. So I would still put money on them making the playoffs. I'll believe it when I see it anyway, that they won't make the playoffs. But Braves are playing great, 19-7. The White Sox, as we said, winners of three in a row, are now do not have the worst record in baseball, believe it or not. It is the Miami Marlins, who are 6-23, and a third of their wins came against the Cubs last weekend. So that's fun.
I don't remember the last time like the bottom three or four teams in the MLB have been this bad.
Yeah, White Sox 6-22, Marlins 6-23, Rockies 7-21.
Yeah. Hey, Chris Bryant's hurt again. Imagine that.
Shocker. Yeah, he is. He's just cashing those checks.
Worst contract in Rocky
easily. It's the biggest.
Everybody knew it when they did it.
Yeah. Ownership's just like, we need a big name.
Yep. We need to sell some more tickets.
Has not worked. It's been an utter disaster, and it's not fun to watch, even for Cubs fans, because we loved him so much here.
And his comments pre-trading, I mean, he was kind of bashing like, I made the wrong decision coming here. It's like, that's not good either.
His career has tanked like I have never seen from a guy like him, because I thought he'd be this potential Hall of Famer. And now, I mean, he had four good years, and that was it.
Different circumstances, but kind of reminds me of Andrew Luck a little bit. Different circumstances.
Yeah, a little bit. That's a good kind of good comparison. Yeah. Baseball here about May already. I mean, April, I would imagine Cubs Shota Imanaga has locked up the NL, maybe pitcher of the month, let alone NL rookie of the month, because he's leading baseball in ERA. All right, now he's been fantastic. So he might win both. Who knows? So that'd be pretty cool for him to do that. Cubs are out in New York, Mets playing in Queens, and they're down 1-0 already, bottom six.
Please sweep them. That'd be nice.
Cubs just need some offense at this point. They're facing old friend Luis Severino tonight. I'll hit you with that birdie bogey here real quick. Who was the last quarterback to go number one overall that did not play in a power conference? Pac-12.
I've went over it in my head over and over and over. And I'm afraid I'm forgetting somebody because I'm so confident in my answer. Mm-hmm. But I'm going with, he was the first ever draft pick by the Houston Texans, David Carr out of Fresno State.
Trick question. I got you. Utah was in the Mountain West when Alex Smith.
I knew I was too confident.
Alex Smith, I thought that might trip you up, but I worded it to absolve myself of any guilt.
Yeah.
So Alex Smith, you still have a commanding one-stroke lead, but
Yeah. Oh man, that is, oh, that is a...
you'll get me back. Trust me.
Good question. Good question.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show live. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.